Hello, everybody. Today is Saturday, the 15th of February, 2025. We're gathered here for the 171st session of Mindfulness for Beginners in English, conducted by Nisara Navanaya. I would like to warmly welcome Homagama Dhamma Kusala Thero for this session, along with everyone who's joining us via Zoom, Facebook live stream, and anyone who will be watching later. We would also like our program will commence as usual with the in-session practice of mindfulness, which will be followed by the talk on today's topic, and then we will have time for reports and any questions towards the end. So to begin today's session, I'd like to invite Pante Homagama Dhamma Kusala Thero to start the in-session practice of mindfulness.
Thanks, Sonali. Hello, everyone. So today, I think we can do a sitting session to start today's program. For this, you can sit in a comfortable manner. If you feel like it, you can turn on video as well, join more actively. Once you are comfortable in your posture, you can gently close your eyes. Notice that you are seated in the present moment. Time to time, various things come to your attention. Sometimes thoughts, memories, surrounding sounds, certain bodily sensations, these things come to your attention. Without reacting or without judging, we try to be simply aware. We simply try to continue with the awareness. Let's try and be mindful of the present moment for a few more minutes. Okay, everyone, now you can open your eyes again. That's about 10-15 minutes of mindful sitting, just to give you an idea so you can practice on your own. With that, Sonali, you can take over.
Thank you, Bhante. Next on the agenda is the talk on today's topic, which is polar opposites. And to start this talk on today's topic, I invite Bhante Dhammakusala Thero again. Over to you, Bhante.
Okay, everyone. So this is a new topic that we are starting today. It's about how our mind works and how we can create the balance of mindfulness. Now, when it comes to the usual behavior of our mind, as long as we are not aware, as long as we are ignorant, the mind is peaceful. Mind is not agitated. But let's say we come to know some information. We get certain thoughts, memories. And due to the thoughts, memories, due to the information that we become aware, usually the mind, it gets agitated. It gets reactive to this information, these thoughts, memories. So this is how the mind usually operate. As long as we are ignorant, as long as we are not aware, it's fine. But soon the information arrives to your awareness, you will start reacting, you will start getting agitated. That's how we function. And sometimes it becomes really overwhelming. You have so many agitations throughout the day, so many urges, reactions throughout the day, and it becomes overwhelming. Stress, tension, or even a depression, these things are a result of this continuous agitation. Your mind can't handle this agitation. Your mind can't handle these urges or reactions. So as a result, you get stress, you get tension, and even sometimes become mentally ill. So what happens is that mind is too overwhelmed by this information. And nowadays, most people, when they are asked why this addiction, why there's this addiction to drugs, they usually respond saying that it helps for them to be peaceful. It helps them to be less reactive. It helps them to be, you know, be easy in their mind. So that's why these days you can see so much demand for painkillers, so much demand for various kinds of drugs. And as a result, the life becomes manageable for few hours. As long as there's this chemical influence, they can be peaceful in their mind. So you can see when it comes to a drug, what it basically doing is, it is creating some kind of a ignorance in mind. The world is not so unbearable when you take that type of influence. You can be at ease in your mind when you take that kind of influence. So basically, it is creating ignorance in your mind, and as a result, you become peaceful. the opposite of knowing or the opposite of awareness. Then there is ignorance. When you don't know certain information, you are not agitated. You have peace of mind. When you don't know that this incident happened, you have no agitation. When you are paying less attention to your thoughts, emotions, you can manage yourself. Right? So this way, you can see whenever we are aware, we become agitated, we get urges, reactions. But whenever we are ignorant, we become peaceful. But this ignorance, it is not lasting peace. It doesn't create lasting peace. It creates temporary peace. Maybe for a few hours, you become peaceful. But when the influence of the drug wears off, you become even more agitated. The next day, you need a higher dose in order to get the same influence. Right? So that way, the ignorance, it's not a permanent solution. You can find some peace temporarily with the ignorance, but it is not lasting. Right? So today's idea is, when we practice mindfulness, we practice awareness. And the topic says that you can be aware and have less reaction in your mind. Let me read out the exact comment, the exact quote. It says, mindfulness requires awareness and low reactivity, kind of like polar opposites. Mindfulness, the practice, it requires awareness as well as low reactivity. So these things are kind of like polar opposites. When we are aware, we get reactions, we get high reactivity. So they are polar opposites. As long as you are ignorant, you can have low reactivity. So how can the mind be aware as well as low reactive? That's the question. That's the practice that we are doing. So initially, for a beginner, this is really hard. This is really hard, and they complain a lot. They complain a lot. They say that due to the mindfulness, I can feel a lot of suffering in me. And it feels like this very practice has created additional suffering. Because you have been ignorant towards these thoughts, emotions, your problems. But when you start being mindful, suddenly all these things become vivid and colorful. So you feel like the practice has created additional suffering. So that complaint is reasonable. You find fault in yourself. You find fault in others. And you are always agitated in your body and mind. All these symptoms, they are signs of mindfulness. Usually the beginners, they complain about these things. They say, I find fault about myself. I find fault about others. And I become more agitated due to the practice. Right? So these things are kind of complaints that is natural when you start the practice of mindfulness. So for a beginner, the practice is really heavy. They hold this practice and it feels really heavy. And they complain about that heaviness. So you can see being aware as well as being low reactive, it's a difficult balance. It's kind of like polar opposites, being aware as well as being low reactive. Kind of like polar opposites. So it's a difficult balance, and it's natural that we hear a lot of complaints about it. But the very practice, the idea is to achieve this difficult balance little by little. Initially, it might be hard, but with repetitive practice, you get closer and closer to this difficult balance that we are talking about. Being aware and low reactive at the same time. That difficult balance, although it is hard in the beginning, with time you can create it. You can get to that balance, you can get to that level. So that's the very idea of repetitive practice. That's why we do repetitive practice. Most of us, we say that it's harder to maintain a certain hours of practice continuously. You can do a few hours of practice, maybe at least like a couple of hours of practice today, but tomorrow becomes too busy and you miss those hours. That's fine. Little by little, somehow you try to create a certain habit of practicing at least like a couple of hours of formal meditation. As we have discussed in this very program before, you can be skillful and find ways to practice in your life. Maybe the time that you travel to work, you are seated in a train or somewhere, and you can simply be mindful during those hours. Maybe you have few hundred yards of walking when you get to the office. So those few yards, few hundred yards, you can try and do a mindful walking session. So that way, you can find different opportunities. You can become skillful, and when you become skillful, you see there are so many opportunities for you to practice in your daily life. Right? So that's the way to approach this. And you should practice like your life depends on it. You should have high importance towards your practice. So much important, like your life depends on it. If I say your life depends on meditation, you might come and complain, you might come and laugh, that saying it's not dependent on meditation. But if I ask, does your life depends on breath or air, then you'll say yes, your life depends on air. It's a matter of minutes. You live if you don't get air. Within minutes, you'll be over. Right? So we have no argument that our life depends on air, the breath. And if I ask you, does your life depend on water? Then you might say, yes, it's a matter of hours. If you don't get water, then within a matter of hours, you'll be over. So we have no argument, the life depends on water as well. Does your life depend on food? Yes, it's a matter of days. Right, if you don't get proper food within the matter of days, you'll be over. and even, let's say, the physical health, physical fitness, that too is important, right? That could be a matter of months, and your life depends on it as well. And when it comes to mental health, then it could be a matter of years, but still your life depends on it. You can't see it right away because its lifetime is longer. You can see the importance of breath clearly because its lifetime is shorter. It's a matter of seconds, minutes, if you don't get the air. So it is clearly noticeable because the lifetime is shorter. Within a matter of seconds, you start to feel it. And even, let's say, the water, it is easier to understand it because within a matter of hours, you start to feel it. But when it comes to meditation, only within years, you start to feel this. So the lifetime is longer, but still your life depends on it. That's why we say meditation, you should prioritize it as your life depends on it. You don't feel it right away, but eventually, within a matter of years, you start to feel it. And when you feel it, it might be too late as well. Right? Maybe some mental illness. Due to that, you start to feel. But when that happens, it might be too late to practice or start the practice of mindfulness. Why? With that difficult mental health, it is really exhausting to do this type of a practice. Still, you would be able to do, but it takes a lot of effort. It takes a lot of energy for you to do when you are suffering with a mental illness. I have seen so many people who comes for meditation after being diagnosed with depression or something similar. And they come, they hang around for a few days, but usually they are saying it's too much. It's too much to bear. It's too difficult. And they leave. Right? So you can see the meditation is important. Your life depends on it. But we can't clearly see because the lifetime is longer. Within a matter of years only, you start to feel the importance of meditation. Right? So that way, knowing that your life depends on it, you should encourage yourself to practice daily. Little by little, you develop that ability. And little by little, you realize that you create this difficult balance in your mind. What's the difficult balance that we are talking about? Being aware and being low reactive at the same time. And when you read into some of those researchers done on meditators, those data will give sufficient evidence towards what we are talking about. Usually they have done some brain scans during meditation, and you can see that usually the brain's activity, it has a center. Like a hurricane, it has a center, eye of the hurricane, right? So that type of activities, you can see clear, certain regions are energetic, highlighted. Certain regions are dark, not that much active, right? So you can see how the brain functions and which areas are active. And those active areas, those concentrated areas, they are due to certain inputs. Let's say one part of the brain is activated due to some kind of a emotion or thought, right? So that way you can see. But when you scan the brains of meditators, they can see that entire brain is lit. You can't find a certain center of activity, but still you can feel that it is active. The brain is active, but there is no center of activity, right? So that's the low reactivity part. That's why you can't see a center, but still the whole brain is lit, right? So you can see the awareness is there and the whole brain is active, but there is no particular reaction towards something, right? So those things will help us to know that with repetitive practice, we can create this difficult balance. We are aware and we become less reactive. Initially, for a beginner, they feel this with the concentration. When their mind becomes concentrated, when the samadhi arises, you can feel that certain objects are there, but they are not creating agitation in you. Right? For a beginner, if they become friendly with the breathing, if they can maintain their attention with the breathing for a certain period, then they start to feel this. And when one feels it, it feels like they have gone into cloud nine kind of a status. They feel like maybe I'm enlightened, something like that they feel. When they feel it for the very first time, it is too overwhelming. It's heavenly, right? For the very first time in their life, they see how the mind is low reactive. Objects are there, don't get me wrong. The objects are there, surrounding sounds are there, various thoughts come and go, but still your mind is not agitated. That comes from the samadhi that is created, concentration. And initially it is very helpful. And as a result, you feel that the meditation works. As a result, you feel this very refined status of your mind. You know, like a heavenly state of your mind, you feel, right? And you feel how the mind is low reactive towards these objects. The things come and go, the thoughts come and go, the sounds come and go. You are fully aware, but you don't feel the usual agitation, right? So that way, you can see how the mind is aware as well as low reactive due to the support of concentration, samadhi. And it is really addictive. Most people, they get addicted to this new drug, the drug of samadhi, concentration. And they say, this is the practice, this is what I want, right? That day they become really addicted towards these refined states of mind. But if you know the real practice, you have to understand that there is something beyond samadhi as well. Samadhi is not your final destination. Samadhi is just a milestone along the road towards a much greater destination. If you think samadhi is your destination, is your goal, then you are foolish. It's not me that's saying it. It's a Buddha that's saying it. He's saying if somebody is thinking that samadhi or the absorption or certain supernatural powers, these things are the ultimate goal of this practice. These things are the final destination of this practice. Then Buddha says that's foolishness. There's much greater things beyond samadhi. That samadhi or the absorption is not the final goal in this practice. It is something that you experience along the path of the practice. But it's not the final goal. It's just a milestone. And if you get addicted to samadhi, and if you stay there without moving further, then Buddha says that's foolishness. That's foolishness because you don't get to reap the greater benefits. But if you know the proper practice, if you get proper advice for your meditation, then the teacher will tell you that you have to one day let go of the samadhi as well. The mind becomes calm and quiet due to the samadhi, but you can see that that too has an end. That calm and quiet nature of the mind will end after a while. So you continue your meditation expecting the end of this samadhi. If you expect the end of the samadhi, then that is the true practice. When the causes are there, the samadhi is created and you become peaceful. Your mind becomes really quiet. But after a while, that samadhi will come to an end. And when that happens, you have to accept that change as well. If you accept that change, if you know that there would be an end to this, then that is the true, correct practice. That way, if you practice, then samadhi doesn't become your final goal. Instead, it is something that you pass along the path of this practice, right? And that way, when you continue, you start to feel some other more advanced level of awareness and low reactivity. That one is arisen with the power of wisdom. And that is the lasting solution. And when the wisdom arises, you can really see how these things come and go. But still, you don't react to them that much. The daily problems, they come and go. Sometimes it hurts, but you don't react as you used to do. Right? So that way, the meditators, when they continue for a few months, few years, they start to feel how this second level of awareness, second level of low reactivity that appears. And this second level, more advanced level of awareness and low reactivity, that is due to the wisdom. Still, you are along the path of practice, but you can feel it into a certain extent. Still, some things you become agitated. Still, some things hurt. But you know, comparatively, the practice is working. Little by little, you become more and more less reactive, though you are aware. Right? And there's this very nice Rumi quote. He's saying that you should pay attention to the bandaged place And that's where the light will come in, the mandaged place. That's where the light will come in, right? So what is this bandaged place? In the practice of meditation, we can really relate to this court. If something hurts, that's where the light will come, right? So when something hurts, you can really notice, observe what is happening there. Keep observing that pain. Keep observing the reaction. Keep observing how repetitively your attention goes to these things. Right? So you can really pay attention to the places that hurts. And as a result, the light or the wisdom enters. Right? So in our practice, in our life, we can see still certain things are there. I'm out of control when they happen. Still certain things are there. I react to them very so much. Still certain things are there. I feel pain due to them. So that's where you should pay your attention to. Pay attention to the things that hurts. Pay attention to the things that agitate you. Pay attention to the things that creates this suffering. And if you keep paying attention to them, then you will reap the benefit of light or the wisdom. Right? So when it comes to the true practice, after some years, some months, truly the practice becomes 24/7. As long as you are aware, you have to keep paying attention to the things that hurt. In other words, we say likes and dislikes. Whenever the likes and dislikes arise, that's where you can pay attention to things. That's where it hurts. That's where the light or the wisdom will arise. Right? So you can see this truly becomes a daily practice. The meditation becomes living. When you travel to work, you are meditating. When you work for so many hours, deal with various people, you are meditating. Especially when you get angry, when you get agitated, especially when you feel hurt, especially when you feel stress, that's where you have to really pay attention. Notice how this anger or agitations arise. Notice how this pain arises. Notice how you create stress in these situations. That way, you time after time keep on observing the places that hurts or the bandaged places. And as a result, you can reap the benefit, reap the light or the wisdom. Not just once wouldn't be enough. You have to time after time pay attention to the places where it hurts. Observing just one time won't do. Most of the people, they get it wrong. They say, okay, I observed it once. But that won't be enough. When we say observe your breath, are we saying just once? No. Instead, for thousands and thousands times, we observe the same breathing sensation. When we do walking, for so many times, we observe the walking sensations. Same goes for the things that agitates you. Same goes for the things that hurt you. Same goes for the things that create stress in you. You pay attention to them not just once. You observe them not just once. Instead, thousands and thousands times you observe them. And we get many opportunities in our daily lives. Whenever you feel hurt, that's an opportunity for you to practice. Whenever you feel stressed, that's an opportunity for you to practice. Whenever you get angry, agitated, that's an opportunity for you to practice. That way, if you keep on paying attention to the places that hurts, if you keep on observing the bandaged places, then as a result, the wisdom will arise. How do you know that wisdom has arisen? You feel that pain is reducing. You feel the stress is reducing in those situations. You feel the anger or the agitation is reducing. Still, they are there, but you don't feel their influence so much. Still, you get angry, but it has lower power over you. Still, you feel pain, but that pain is not so much intense. Right? So that's the work of wisdom. And it is lasting, not temporarily. It is lasting. It's a permanent solution. Right? So that quality we can really develop with the support of repetitive practice. You are aware, but you maintain a low reactivity. Initially, it is due to the concentration, but later on, when you practice for a few months, few years, it becomes due to the wisdom. And when you experience the awareness as well as the low reactivity due to wisdom, then that tells us the true nature of this practice. That tells us how the practice will resolve the difficulties in this life, the stress, pain in this life, right? So that's the idea. I hope that's enough for today's talk. We'll continue on the same topic for one more week. For today, that's enough. Thank you for listening.
Thank you, Bhante. That was today's topic on pole opposites. Next on the agenda, we have to present any reports that were sent to us, to Bhante for his feedback, and also to host the questions. For this, I invite Tharindu to take over this session.
Namaste, Bhante. Thank you, Sonali. So it's time for the reports. Before reading out the reports, I'll give you a quick guide. Yes, and Sonali is going to share the guide for you all to see. So as you can see, we have shared some links as well. So in all our programs, we dedicate a good time to encourage you to practice. So if you are new to the program, this will be handy. If you can go on to our YouTube channel, there's a lot of videos, and out of them, mindful walking and sitting, basic guidance videos are the most important for a beginner. So I hope Sonali can share the links on the chat. If there you go. Yes. So you can quickly go there, go to YouTube and listen to these guidance videos and start practicing. So only thing we're asking is to allocate a little time first when you're starting, right, from your daily schedule to engage in mindful walking and sitting. So once you start practicing, when you are confident enough, when you have at least completed, 2 hours of practice, then you can start writing your experience to us. So then you can present it. We can present it to Swaminathan as well. So the first thing when you are writing your report, you must give the titles, what it is about, like if it is, whether it's mindful walking or mindful sitting. And when you are writing about mindful walking, we always ask to do mindful walking before doing mindful sitting. So when you are writing about mindful walking, it's always about walking, how you felt when you are walking, what are the sensations, and what went through your mind, like, when you're walking, how did you manage to focus onto your walking? So stuff like that, you can read, it's on the screen. And once you are done with walking, then you can dedicate some time for mindful sitting as well. So you can write to us about your posture, how you felt your breath, and what went through your mind, things like that. And everything counts. So there's no right or wrong answers here. So whatever the things you felt counts, and you can write it to us. And don't try to breathe. Just focus on the natural breath and then see how you feel. Yeah. So once you are done with your report, you can send it to us through emails. beginnersnv@gmail.com is the mail ID. And once you send it to us, we can present it to Pante, and you can get his direct feedback during the program. So if you miss the program, our programs will be online. This is being live streamed on Facebook. So you can go to our Facebook page and listen to the video and get your feedback. So I think I quickly went through the guide. I hope it's clear. And now we can move on to the reports. Swaminathan Avasarai, we have received one report. I seek your permission to read it.
Yeah.
Okay. Mindful sitting. Sat on the cushion. Adjusted body to comfortable position and gently closed eyes. Noted prominent breath around nostrils, which became slower and softer after a while. Monotonous rise and fall of stomach. Noted. Sleep like a feeling, but aware of it. Subtle breath. Noticed again. Lower back pain, which was there before the sitting, felt more intensely. Some proliferation took place, then attention moved to breath, which was prominent. Thoughts passing in background. Calmness and peacefulness noticed. Sat for 55 minutes. Mindfulness during the day. Last week had been busy, but it was mentally experienced as a restful. It was mentally experienced as restful at times. This mismatch is becoming familiar. Several unexpected requests were made by others for help, and noted initial rise of energy in mind, which subsided before getting on with things. Took a short break when body was too tired. Recognized the limit of physical energy and noted mental energy to be more flexible, less constricted and even. Having taken part in few worldly events and having enjoyed these at the time, there are less memories remaining. Listening to others about current affairs, there is a lot of discontent, frustration and fear about what so-called world leaders are doing now. Noted this first, then checked internal mental landscape. Initial discontent and fear in mind noted, which soon passed. Part of mind was amused because everyone knows the best thing to do to fix the world. Another part of mind disinterested in the heated discussion of others. Dear Bhante, look forward to your valuable feedback and immense gratitude for the practical guidance.
Okay, so that's how it is. Right, it seems like everyone has solutions for the world issues. And whenever you ask from somebody else, they have all the solutions for your questions or the problems that you are facing. Right? So as long as the problem is not mine, the answer is philosophical. But when the problems becomes our own, then that philosophy disappears. Right? So that's how it is. As long as it's somebody else's problem, we have all the great philosophical answers. As long as when it comes to worldly matters, we know what to do. But not the leaders who are really running it. Right? So that's how it is. That's the nature of this mind. Right? So somebody else's problems, it's much easier to discuss, resolve. The world matters, that too can be easily done. But when it comes to our own problems, troubles, then that philosophy disappears. Right? So that's how the mind, that's how it is at work. Right? So instead of facing the real problem, the mind is escaping that, trying to resolve the worldly matters. Instead of resolving your own problems, somebody else's problems could be easily resolved. Right? So you can see how the mind is turning outwards. But the real way is to turn it inwards. It's not easy. That's why most people, they have heated arguments when it comes to these things. And even the relatives, they become enemies due to these arguments. Right? So in a group gathering, in a party, you have to be really careful to make sure that the party ends without any trouble. Right? Especially when people get drunk. And that's like, you know, waiting for an accident to happen. Right? So this is how the attention easily goes outwards. Facing some other people's problems, solving them. Talking about the worldly problems, matters. Right? But when we turn the attention inwards, we can see the real problem. The real problem is within, not in the outside world. Right? So most people, they are not to touch it. They prefer resolving the others' problems. They prefer resolving the worldly problems instead. Because facing the real problem, it takes a lot of courage. Right? So that's why most people, they are not practiced. Right? You challenge somebody to come and do a silent retreat for 10 days. Right? They'll go crazy, most of the people. Right? They can't bear it. Why? When it comes to a silent retreat, when you have so many free hours in a day, you start to feel the real problem. Right? So it's very, very rare that somebody will come and do a silent retreat. Even if they come, it's very rare that they meditate. Some people, they come, they stay for 10 days, but they are not meditating. Maybe feeding all the monkeys here in the forest, right? That's what they do. That's their project for the 10 days, right? And they go and say that I did meditation, silent retreat for 10 days. What have they done? They have fed the monkeys in the forest, right? Because it's easier not to face the real problem. Right, but it takes courage. It takes a lot of energy to face the real problem. I'm not saying we all are successful facing it, but at least we have accepted the challenge That's something important, right? At least once in your lifetime, you should go for a silent retreat, maybe like for 3 months. At least once in a lifetime, right? It'll be a whole new experience. It'll be a whole new experience. You will get to see whole lot of different shades and shapes of your mind you haven't seen before, right? So take that challenge at least once in a lifetime. Go for a silent retreat, 3 months. 3 months it's not a huge period when it comes to a lifetime, right? So try it. If it's for a longer period, then it's fine, then it's much better. But at least for 3 months, if you go and do a silent retreat with the guidance, then you can see the work of this mind, different shades of this mind. That's important. We frequently get foreigners, and some of them, they stay for like 3-4 months. A lot of Germans, and they come, they stay for 3 months, 6 months, 1 year even, and they get to see a whole different shades and shapes of their own mind. Right, so that way we have to face it little by little. Face the real problem. So in your daily encounters, see how other people are trying to resolve the outside problems. It's much easier to do that. But if you turn inwards, then you meet the real problem. Right, and it's a challenge. And we have accepted that challenge. Though we might not be very successful, we have accepted that challenge. That's something important. The practitioners, they can be happy. Why? Because they have accepted the real challenge. If you do daily meditation, at least 1 hour or so, if you try to practice mindfulness in your daily life, then that's something that you can be happy about. That's something that you can be proud about. Why? Because you have at least accepted the real challenge. Most people, they spend a lifetime avoiding the real challenge. That they are not address the real problem. Right? So see it. Continue the practice this way, and you'll get to see different shapes and forms of your own mind. And as a result, you'll become more and more peaceful with that practice. Thank you for sharing.
Finally, we have received another report. Got it just now, so I'm gonna read it. There was Sanai Bante. Once I mentioned staying alone and facing the fear of seeing ghosts, now I have nothing to write about it and I am okay with it. I recently found a snake in the kitchen and informed the annex owners of that. They started saying that was the first time any said such an issue in the annex. Later found there was a hole in the kitchen and they covered it. I didn't worry about that and slept well and stayed in the annex. But it was a bit extra work as checking the kitchen for safety. Sometimes snakes images kept fading away from nowhere and had nothing to do except be aware of those. After the incident, I removed some items from the kitchen to make it easy to see the area. After a few days, I was in the hall at night and watching a video on YouTube. Once the attention went on to the video, they appeared on the side, which was in the tile, as a monk appeared on the side, which was in the titles as a monk was rescued from a snake biting by a cat, but didn't want to watch it. But this faded away as, who will rescue me if I face such an incident? Suddenly a slight sound came from the kitchen and a quick command came, go to the kitchen and see. When I went to the kitchen, the body went to exact place where the sound came from. It was in between the worktop and cupboards frame. There was a small head peeping out, and I identified it as a snake. Kept looking to clarify, and the head was gone. Again, after some time, it peeped out, which confirmed it was there. So at the exact time when the snake's head came out, I was there to notice it. Then I took the help of the annex family to remove it. Still, they were angry as it was a trouble for them and kept raising the point that it was after I came on this issue happened. Even after they covered the kitchen hall. As steps taken to remove items after finding the snakes were very helpful in facing the incident of the second snake. As I don't have any option, I have to live there till I find another place. After the incident, I stopped using the kitchen as I didn't want to take the risk. Had no proper sleep that night. Two nights stayed in a paid room due to fear, but I had to come back to the annex. The only person who helps me normally also didn't have the urge to take me out there. The one also makes room for me to face fears. Feel like of him, bit of enjoying away from what I had to face. Disagreement on his faded from time to time. It's like when nature teaches lessons. It uses the nearest ones and they also do their work. I didn't have the urge to face this fear of what to risk my life as none to take care if anything happened and still alive. The battles in which to put energy and which to take a step back is one has some control, I guess. I keep searching places to move to. This is the seventh annex in this journey. Same time I had to find a way to sleep in the annex, keeping the fear side. Without sleep, going to search places was tiring. So an idea came to cover the big opening in the bathroom, which opens to the small kitchen with a net. So I did it. Yesterday I slept well. When I started to write this, while writing, felt what for writing. After seeing a very long report and even that it needs to be sent, what is the purpose of writing? One faded away as it would be helpful for someone who needs it in some manner. Next was the urge to tell, but I notice now urge to share experiences also getting low and slight urge arose to be silent. These all appeared in the blurred mood and still can be identified, but it has a seal like it's far away and doesn't feel the weight of things as early. But it doesn't mean also there is no even slight interest in what's happening. Where needed, it takes action. Thank you so much, Bhante, for your guidance. Therwan Saranai, thank you for giving me this chance to connect. I hope it's clear, Bhante.
Okay, right. Thanks for sharing your experience, although it is difficult to, you know, share such experiences. I think it is helpful for you as well as the others to share it like this. And as you can see, you can run from your fears, right? It's the seventh annex in this journey. Wherever you go, you find something wrong eventually, right? Even the owners, they might complain that due to you, the snakes come. They haven't had that problem before, right? So you can see, running from the fears, you can do various things, you can find new solutions, but still it doesn't work. If it's a snake today, tomorrow it will be something else. Right? So that's how it is. So instead of running from the fears, Buddha encourages us to face the fears. He himself had faced the fears. In one of the stories, Buddha is mentioning that he was meditating alone in some dark forest. And in the night, he could hear some kind of a weird sound. And before Buddha would know, and he says that the fear arose in his mind. Maybe it's a ghost, the Buddha's mind was telling him. But instead of running from the fear, Buddha went and investigated. And as a result, he found out some animal is digging the ground. That's the sound it is making. Right? So that way, Buddha says, face your fears. By facing them, by investigating them, you can see what's the cause of this fear. Right? So we can take certain preventive measures, of course. You don't have to be at risk of snakes. But always there'll be something else. If it's not, if it's a snake today, tomorrow it'll be something else. Right? That is how it is. So even in this forest, you can see snakes. Snakes are there, right? So you can take certain preventive measures. You can take a flashlight when you travel in the night, right? You can do certain preventive measures. If you don't do them, that's foolishness. I hear somebody traveled without a flashlight and got bitten, right? Not by an extremely poisonous snake. Instead, it was a mid-range one, right? The poison was mid-range kind of a snake, right? So not taking a flashlight, it's foolishness, right? So you can take certain preventive measures, but no matter what flashlights you take, still when the time is right, you get bitten, right? And sometimes your attention goes away for a split second, and as a result, you step on a snake. And usually it is difficult to distinguish them. You know, they stay like a leaf. The color is like that, the shape is like that. And only when you step, you realize it was a snake. Right? So these things happen. So instead of running from the fears, you have to face them. You have to face them. You can apply certain preventive measures. Right? Running never works. It was ghost yesterday. Today it's snakes. Tomorrow it'll be something new. This is the mind at work. Right? So what we can do is we can face our fears. Instead of running from them, turn your attention towards the fears and see how it is making you run. Right? Changing annexes, finding solutions. This is the real mind. That's where the real problem is. And when it comes to snake bites, usually what kills people is the fear. Mainly it's the fear. Right? When you realize you got bitten, your heartbeat rises. You become fearful. you become agitated. You run here and there, working your body, trying to find someone or some solution. And as a result, whatever the poison that's there, it will spread throughout your body. So you can see fear kills, right? Even some people, they die from a non-venomous snake bite. What's the reason? Fear, right? Even, let's say, extremely venomous, if you stay calm, if you don't get fearful, then the poison won't spread in your body. And as a result, you might save your life. And it's good to do some research as well. Research on the snakes. I have done research on the snakes in this forest, the way I am living. So different type snakes are there. Most of them are non-venomous. So if you at least know the type, then it'll be helpful not to be afraid, not to be fearful. And here in this forest, there are crates with the white bands, black snake with the white bands. That's crates, extremely poisonous, right? But there is another snake who wears the same clothing as a crate, but non-venomous, right? So one day you identify a crate as a non-venomous snake and you touch them, you are gone, right? So that's how it is, you know. They wear the same clothing just for protection. No venom inside, but appears like a crate, right? Crates are very rare. You don't see them very often. Mostly what you see is non-venomous, appears like a crate. But you have to be careful. If you touch the wrong one, then you're gone, right? So you can do some research as well. Most of these creatures, they are innocent creatures. And they have very little poison saved for their meal, not for you, right? So we become fearful for no reason, right? So that way, you can little by little develop the ability to face your fears. Face your fears. It won't be easy. Yesterday, so it was a ghost. Today, it's a snake. Tomorrow, it'll be something new, right? So running from them, it never works. Little by little, try to face them. Stop exhausting yourself with this fear. Instead, try and find the real problem, which is the fear in your mind, right? So the nature keeps teaching you, right? Giving you opportunities to practice. But most of the time, we don't listen to that teaching. We don't take that opportunity, right? So try to find that teaching. Try to take that opportunity. That way, you can face your fears, destroy the causes for this fear, right? That's important. Try and continue. And next time, tell us about the new fear that will arise.
Thank you, Bhante, for your feedback. We value it very much. Right, with that, we have come to the end of the reports, and I don't think we have time for a Q&A session, sadly. So I'm going to hand over to Sonali to end the session for the day. Sonali, over to you.
Thank you, Tharindo. Sorry about not having time. We will hopefully make time next week. If you have any questions in the meantime, do write to us at beginnersenvy@gmail.com, and we will be able to hopefully make time for you. So with that, we have come to the end of the session today. On behalf of all the organizers, we would like to thank our usual guide, teacher, who takes his time, Venerable Homagama Dhammakusala Thero, for his time and continued guidance on this program. And of course, not forgetting the Chief Abbot of Nisaranavanaya, Venerable Bhante Udeyiriyagama Dhammajiva Mahathero, whose idea is to start this session. And may these merits help improve their own practices as well. And also, we have gotten news that one of our valued members of the community, Samantha, who has informed us that her father passed away, may we will pass on merits to him as well. Thank you to all the organizers who are maintaining and managing this this program. And thank you to everyone who has participated today via Facebook live stream, Zoom, and whoever who may be watching later as well. As usual, we will have our session next week at 1 p.m. Sri Lankan time. And I hope you have got a good use out of today's session, and hope you have a happy and mindful week ahead. Thank you. I will end the session now.